Welcome to another edition of Hack Shack Talks. Your host, Paul, here with co-host.
Hey, Nick Kahn is here.
And we got a special co-host tonight, Coach Anthony Garcia. Anthony, what's going on?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
So our guest tonight, man, probably comes from one of the biggest baseball families I've ever known. Go way back with his mom and dad and even grandfather. So grandfather was a coach back in the day at Oso Pony when I was playing Pony League over there. Never played for him, but man, he was actually one of the OG guys, and we'll get into that later. But want to welcome our Lady of the Lakes own second baseman, Ryan Chapa.
Hey guys, thanks for having me.
Yeah, man, for sure. So how's it going, man? How's life at our Lady of the Lake?
It's been going good, you know. Definitely some adjustments this year with everything going on, but I think everything, we handled it all pretty well, and we're looking forward to a good season.
Yeah, so. 2021, man. So, number one, let me say congratulations, man. I know you just graduated. What'd you get your degree in?
History with a teacher certification, 7 through 12.
Oh, okay, yes, right on. There you go.
Hey, same thing, man.
Really? Yeah. That's crazy. Good, man. And so, correct me if I'm wrong. I reached out to your coaches, Coach Ogney, and actually I reached out to Coach Flores as well just to kind of get their input on you, man. And he told me you had graduated with a 3.8 GPA. Is that correct?
Close. That might be right. Yes, sir.
We're not gonna go against the coach. We're gonna go with it. Hey, 3.8, we're going with it,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Hey, that's awesome, dude. That's congratulations, really, man.
Thank you.
I know. So kind of walk us through, man. Like just being able to maintain a 3.8 GPA and maintaining everything that's expected of you as a baseball player and athlete at Our Lady of the Lake.
Well, you know, I really got to give a lot of credit to Coach Ogney and Coach Flores out there. They really, really did a good job of, from day one, just giving us a plan to go by. We had a study hall. We would go to study hall first couple years just until you can prove to the coaches and to yourself, really, that you can handle both classes, practice, just all the hours and responsibilities. But once you can do that, you know, you get those first years of college are definitely probably the hardest, you know, just kind of get into your routine. And once you get into your older years, the kind of classes of the subjects, you know, it just kind of comes a little bit easier.
Yeah. And yeah. So, once you get that English and math and stuff, like all the sciences, general studies, all the basics that they kind of require of you.
Yes, sir.
Man, so correct me if I'm wrong. I believe you're a 4-year starter, right? Going into your senior year here?
Yes, sir.
So, you know, talking to Coach Ogney, like, you know, let's face it, you're not the typical, like, eye guy, right? You're a little undersized, not the greatest arm, you know, don't really hit home runs, et cetera, et cetera. So I kind of read on your bio, man, like a really cool motto that you have. So kind of break down that motto. Tell the guys, like, what that motto is, and then I'll get into my question after that.
Definitely. So if you haven't seen the motto, I usually kind of, I like to go by it. I like when people doubt me. It just makes me want to prove them wrong. Just prove them wrong. So obviously, if you've never seen me, I'm not the biggest guy. About 5'6" on a good day with some cleats on. 160 pounds, 165. So as you know, guys like us, we really kind of have to work twice as hard. Yep. And while we may not have the arm strength, the power, the blazing speed, that's really where the intangibles kind of come in. So being, you know, just having those instincts. I've been playing this game for a long time, and having confidence every time you go out there, and really just being a good teammate. I think that's kind of what it's all about. You just got to bring that every day.
So how far back does that motto kind of take you, man? Does it take you back to like high school, junior high? Like
probably about junior high. You know, I kind of, guys start shooting up around that time in size, and you know, I really never hit that growth spurt, so to speak. And so I guess that's really like, this is how it's gonna have to be.
It's kind of carried you on through,
sir,
4 years of being a starter, right? So
yes,
now, did you always play second base, or did you move over? I think you played short in
growing
high school,
up,
right?
Growing up, I you know, middle infield catcher. Yeah. I like to catch. And then once I kind of got into seventh grade or so, I played, you know, growing up playing middle infield. And then in high school, my first 2 years, I played second base. And then, you know, as I got older, I moved over to shortstop for those last 2 years.
Yeah, and then, but it's been primarily short or second base.
Second base since I got to college.
So. Right on. So, man, so, you know, I mean, that so there's a lot of kids out there, right, that are listening to this, man. Like, what kind of advice would you give them as far as, hey, when you got guys, you got dads, you got coaches, travel coaches, whatever, telling them, hey, man, you're too small, you don't have all the, you're not big enough, strong enough, whatever, to play in college, because you weren't 165 when you went into college.
No, not.
I was going to say, that 165 has kind of grown on you.
Yes,
it wasn't,
definitely.
You weren't 165 when you your freshman year, because I saw you your freshman year.
Yeah, so. It's definitely.
So what did you come in as a freshman year? Probably like $140?
$140, probably, yeah, soaking wet. Yeah.
Soaking wet, on a good day, right?
On a good day.
You just ate a double meat, double cheese. Yeah. I got my 140 in there,
some
yeah.
change in the pockets.
There you go. So kind of give the kids out there like kind of advice, man, on I'm going to call them haters, shaking those haters off, man, and just staying with the grind and staying with the dream, so to speak.
You know, where a guy like me, we might lack in, you know, the strength and speed wise, you make up for it really in your fundamentals and your skills. Yeah. That's something that it really doesn't matter. This game, we're lucky that you don't have to be 6'3", 225. It definitely helps, but you can definitely make up for it in fundamentals, good mechanics, and just having that confidence. Because you've heard the cliches before, about 80-90% of this game is all mental. Yep. And if you have that approach, and you can really succeed in this game.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, like we've talked all the time. Like, I mean, even like when Nick was coming through, like, man, you're gonna go through ups and downs, and nobody's going to believe in you except you, you know, at that point in time. So, I mean, what's going to get you out of it?
And the success always feels so much better, man, when you do have those haters. When you do, I mean, even, you know, even just the mental, you know, when you go to a showcase or a tryout or a practice, you know, you're sizing everybody up. You're like, oh, shit, you know, this guy's 6'3". This guy's, you know, 170. He's throwing 90. So, I mean, even the boundaries that you put on yourself in your own mind, man, it feels so good once you get to, like, that collegiate level, have some success, man, and you prove to not only yourself, but other people, you know, like, y'all, you know, it's so nice to just say, y'all are wrong. You know, I made it here no matter what you guys, you know, had
so
to say.
Gratifying.
So
gratifying.
Yeah. So gratifying.
Yeah. Dude, and nobody can ever take that from you. Yeah. Like, no matter what you do from here on, whether you get drafted, not, it doesn't matter, man. The numbers don't lie. 7% of all high school athletes go on to college. You're part of that elite 7%, man. And you know, and the fact that you did it the way you did it, man, and my hat's off to you for sure. You know what I mean? I'm sure it's not easy. So run us through like a typical day of you at school, workouts, et cetera, fall, and then in the spring coming up in the season, you know?
So we get there for the fall around mid-August, and we start out Mondays, Wednesday, Fridays. We don't really hit baseball practice until about October. So from about August to that time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're in the weight room, just kind of taking care of doing our arm care, lifting weights, doing some agility work here and there. And then Tuesdays and Thursdays, we'll go out to the field and we'll do our running, our conditioning. And then we'll have some time, you know, we'll have about an hour or so to just kind of get some reps in when on the field, just like an open field type of thing. And then, so that's from about 3:30 to 5:30. And you have, once we get going with actual fall baseball practice, that'll be from about 2:30 to 6, and we break off just kind of depending on class schedules. Yeah. Get your weights in the morning, anywhere from about 9 to 12:30. That'll be two times a week. Two or three times a week. We have three weight days, so if you don't fall on that Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you try to get that in on the weekend or so. But and then it just all kind of depends on your class schedule. The coaches are really understanding that, you know, you're there to get an education. School goes first. So there, if you had to miss some practice for afternoon classes, they're more than understanding.
That's cool. So. So, like I said, man, I reached out to both Coach Flores and Coach Ogney, and both of them almost said the identical thing about you when I asked them to describe you. And both said you're the quintessential student athlete. Student being first, you know what I mean? Just, you work just as hard in the classroom as you do on the baseball field, right? And they said, both of them almost said like the identical same thing, and both said, I would take 10 of him, and it's going to be hard to replace him after this year. So what has those guys, hearing that, what does that mean to you, hearing your coaches say things like that about you?
It means a lot. I've definitely learned so much from both Coach Ogney and Coach Flores from my time. It's coming on 3.5 years now, yeah. Especially since I do want to get into coaching. Those are definitely some guys I want to model myself after, yep. And how I want to eventually run a team. But they definitely have done a lot of great things since my time there, for sure. And they'll only continue to do great things.
You look like you had something to say.
Yeah, you know, I was just gonna say, man. Touching up with like the schooling and all that, I guess what a lot of kids don't realize too, and one thing I wanted to touch on, make sure we touched on, is not only like, of course, you're a student athlete, but every year you're required to have a certain percentage of your degree plan completed. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, you become ineligible and you can't play. You're kind of useless. Just like in high school, you know, you got to pass to play. I know in college when I was back, you know, back in the day, I can say now, yeah. you had to have a percentage of your degree done every year in order to keep maintaining that you're playing. So a lot of the grind that these guys don't understand is, you know, those long bus rides when you're traveling, you're in the hotel rooms. It's not all fun and games where you're just jacking around. A lot of the time you are bearing down on the books. You're taking your books on the, you know, on the road, working on all your stuff. Everybody thinks it's just that baseball grind, but there is an academic grind as well. Definitely. And you want to be able to be held accountable for your coaches. You want to make sure your coaches know that they can count on you. You're always going to pass your classes. You're not a liability off the field to know they can't, you know, can't count on you on the field, basically.
Definitely, that's you said it pretty much spot on. That's what the coaches always say. It's such a relief knowing that once you take care of all your classwork and you're outside, you keep your backyard clean, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It just makes everything that much. That's just one less thing you got to worry about once you come ready for the game day or for practices. So it's a lot easier knowing you have everything taken care of.
Yeah.
So how does game day transpire? Like, you got a certain cereal you eat in the morning, breakfast. We all got our own superstitions, right? So like, what are some of yours?
I'm not a big breakfast guy, so to speak. If we're out of town, they do require that you get up and go to at least show face, so I'll eat something light for breakfast, just so I'm not so full, so to speak. But usually we're getting there for we play double headers usually, so we'll get there about 9 a.m. take some batting practice. I will pack something light, like a peanut butter and jelly or something like that, just right before the games. But I'll get there about 9. We start stretching about 9:30, 9:45, batting practice. Then the other team showing up around that time, they'll take their batting practice. That's usually when I'll throw a snack in here or there. And then we'll start throwing, and then we in and out, and then we just get ready for the game. And they do feed us in between the games, sandwiches. They bring it out around the fourth or fifth inning, and if you're playing, you can kind of peek in the dugout. You see some guys already going for it, so you're like, man, by the time the game's over, it's not.
Maybe not
that. That used to piss me off. You're out there playing all nine innings, and you come in and you see all the pitchers munching on all the food.
All the good
stuff. Oh, my gosh. And then by the time you get there, it's like everything's gone.
All the good stuff.
Good chips, good cookies.
But you're definitely around that second game, around the sixth inning or so, man, you can't wait. That game, it can't come fast enough to go eat after the game. But yeah,
nice, man. Well, so to dive a little bit more into the baseball aspect of it, so obviously 4 years of college, you're a completely different player, a completely different hitter than you were your freshman year. You know, more at bats, more experience, you know, the whole nine yards. My question to you is, how has your approach at the plate changed from your freshman year to your senior year? Because in my opinion, That's one of the most important things when it comes to hitting. You know, you can have a great swing, this and that, but if you, your approach isn't there, you know, it's going to be all that much harder for you. So yeah, my question would be, how do you think your approach has changed from your freshman year up until now as a senior?
It's definitely changed. As a freshman, I was fortunate enough to get a lot of playing time. And throughout kind of my career, I've been your bottom of the order type of hitter. Usually coach likes me in the nine hole, but
just another so leadoff.
Yeah, you see a guy like that as a pitcher, you're probably gonna try to challenge him, you know. And yeah. One thing I could say is I've been able to hit a fastball. So at first, you know, I was like, man, this is not that bad. They're just gonna start you off with the fastball. So it just yeah. I was aggressive. Yeah. I was saying thank you,
yeah.
You know, I'll take that. So yeah. I was definitely more aggressive as a young player. Uh-huh. You know. And, you know, as a young guy, you're trying to prove yourself. So yeah. I was probably a little bit more of a free swinger at time because just guessing that I would get something to hit early in the count. But as, you know, coaches evolve, strategies evolve, you're definitely – they start learning that. They start really start pitching to you more. Off-speed change-ups, off-speeds first. They start pitching you backwards a little bit. And I've definitely – yeah, I still do look for something early in the zone, early to hit, but it's got to be, I've always thought it's got to be something up. Also, depending on, you know, who's on base,
what's
the score,
yep.
how many outs there is. But
situational hitting,
You'd really just kind of look for something you can handle early and often. And once if I do get down on the count, you know, I really just kind of go into, I'm not a guy that likes to strike out at all. So mm-hmm. really just kind of get into that compete mode.
Yeah,
and I have, you know, as I've seen college pitching now 4 years, I've gotten more confidence in myself that I can hit with two strikes. I can hit college pitching, so it's definitely helped.
What's your two strike approach look like then?
I really kind of I kill really any movement on my lower half. I usually kind of have a bit of a leg kick at times, so I kind of widen out with my stance. And it really helps. My head's not moving as much. It just simplifies everything. And you still kind of don't want to. If you see something low, kind of spinning low, you know, let it go. And if it's high, you know, you let it fly.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. So kind of touch base on how about that transition from your senior year of high school into your freshman year at Our Lady of the Lake.
Definitely. It was definitely
an eye-opening
experience. You think you have success in high school. You think that's going to, you know, you carry over. You have some kind of confidence. But then you get into that first fall of college is definitely the toughest, not only for academics, but for lifting-wise, conditioning. My first day of conditioning in the fall, man, I don't think I've ever ran that much. You're out there running and it's hot out there in August in San Antonio, so you're thinking, man, what did I get myself into? But definitely it's a shock as far as you thought you were in shape, but
I think all three of us have said that.
It's
now
definitely
it's eye-opening for sure.
So it's all about really getting in shape and condition at that point, and then once you get there, I felt like you kind of start building on strength. You kind of get in the weight room a little bit more. Once you know you can handle that grind of the fall, and then when the season comes, it's a long season, but you just got to show up and play.
Yep.
So I see your boy is Derek Jeter.
Yes, sir.
So we won't talk about the one non-Yankee fan here, but
are you a Mariners fan?
Oh, no, he's a Red Sox fan.
Mariners all day.
You're a Mariner.
I just like the Red Sox because the rivalry between the Yankees.
So is that something like from your childhood, man? You just followed Jeter from back in the day? And
definitely. My grandparents both are Yankees fans. They passed that on to my dad. And my dad passed that on to me. And, you know, around that time growing up, Derek Jeter was the man.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was a good guy to follow, I think. Yeah. And he just.
Great role model.
That's unbelievable. You never heard anything bad about that dude.
Like, never.
You never There was never really any mudslinging about that dude or anything. So
play the game right.
Yeah, so. You know. So is do you take anything from him and kind of try and emulate his game in your game?
I know this was touched on with in the first two podcasts. You really just try to not let the highs get too high and yep. the lows get low, because there definitely is ups and downs in this long season. So there's going to be, you're going to have your struggles. You're going to have your great days. You'd really just got to think every day is a new day and yeah. another opportunity, and don't let anybody, try not to let anybody outwork you, because yeah. it's anything can happen. There's at the collegiate level, there's two or three guys right behind you that are ready waiting for you to
one chance
to take your yeah. spot.
So. Yeah. Mess up, whatever. They're teammates, but they're still like, dude, yep. he Chapa messes up, dog. Let him go 0-4 right yeah. now. I'm gonna, give me a shot, coach. Put me in. So speaking of accolades, man, so I understand you still you still own the most hits in a single game record at Our Lady of the Lake for 5.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah, big grin on his face. Cool. Right?
That's so proud of, for sure.
Take yeah. us through that game, man, kind of. One bat at a time, you know what I mean? Obviously,
especially you have those days
where you, yeah. Yes, you know, so kind of take us through that game, man. That's big time, you know what I mean? Like,
so it actually ended up being our last game of the season. So looking back, you know, when everything kind of got shut down, I was thinking, oh, it's kind of a good way to end that season. But yeah. To start the game, it was the third game, the last game of the series, conference series, and I knew I could. I had success against this team before. My first at bat, the guy threw a fastball, you know, and I got a base hit. Second at bat, I don't remember. I think it was a little bit later in the at bat. I got a hit, single again. Third at bat, it was a different pitcher in the game. The first pitcher was a righty. Second pitcher was also a righty. Had some guys on, and just kind of. With the approach I'm talking about, you're kind of looking for something up, and I think worked that count a little bit, not trying to do too much, so I kind of get into that approach where I don't get too much with the feet.
Yeah.
Got some good pitches to hit, got into a good count and got a good pitch to hit, and then around that time, I think it was, I had already gone 4-for-4, I was kind of on deck circle, because we were doing pretty good. That it was already kind of the eighth inning, bottom of the eighth. I'm just like, man, I want one more chance to get that AB, and it ended up coming. And I didn't really tell anybody. I kind of had it in mind. I didn't want to jinx myself.
Oh, yeah. 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 It's like the no-no. It's like the no-no.
You can't say nothing.
This grin on my face. And that was the only hit of the day where, you know, all the other ones were true base hits to the outfield. This one was a grounder in the 5-6 hole.
Yeah.
And if you know me, I'm not really a burner down the line. So I hit this ball in the 5-6 hole, and I think they might have had me shifted a couple steps towards the middle, but I knew as soon as I hit it, I was like, man, I probably would have ran like a 6-3-60. Like, the time there, I beat it out, and.
And you knew, and good. You knew that was the record?
I knew from there, yes.
Okay.
What was the record before? 4?
4. I'd actually tied it the year before. There had been a bunch of guys with 4.
Gosh.
4
the
year
before. Okay.
You knew.
I saw yeah. it.
Let me get that fifth AB, please.
you're like, two outs, don't strike out.
Yeah,
don't leave me like this. Don't leave me in this on-deck circle, baby. Like.
There. That was a good way. We swept that series, and that was, you know, it ended up being a pretty good way to cap off things.
Yeah. I have a quick question about coaching too, just something that we were kind of discussing before we started the podcast, and I want to ask this because I know, you know, throughout my college career I had friends that this happened to, and you know, just you hear about this stuff all the time. So before we hopped on, you said that the guy that recruited you ended up leaving. What year did he leave?
He actually left right before probably January of my senior year of high school. So I hadn't started playing games yet that year, but I remember walking out of practice just after practice one day at high school, and I had a missed call from Coach Flores, who's the assistant coach at the time.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, Coach Rodriguez is going to no longer be here, but we still want you to come on in.
Yeah.
And he was the interim coach throughout that rest of the season. So I was like, okay, like I had a good relationship with Coach Flores too. So
yeah.
Everything was good there. And then I get a phone call, and one day in the summer, we really hadn't heard much about who was going to be our coach. We didn't know if it was going to be Coach Flores. And I get a phone call from Coach Ogney, and he introduced himself, and he said, more than excited, you know, to have you here. I was actually at the river at that time with my family, so all day out in the water, having a good time. He gave me a phone call. He says, looking forward to having you here. He says, obviously we want you to, our goal is to win a championship, but at the same time, he says, we know we want everybody to graduate and become a good man, good husband, good father.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's awesome.
From there, it was relieving to hear. And I've had a good relationship with him.
Awesome.
From three and a half years, going on our fourth year, and nothing but good things to say.
Yeah.
About him.
So in hindsight, it seems like obviously y'all have established a really good relationship, and even then, it seems like he did a really good job of kind of assuring you that you're still wanted there. But I mean, still in the back of your mind, you know, you get recruited, you're in high school, you're already like a little nervous about entering college ball, and now the guy that, you know, initially brought me here is no longer there. I mean, did that have any effect on your mindset going into the year or anything like that? Any changes on it?
A little bit, yeah, because that was one of my two offers out of high school. The other one was actually my former high school coach, Mike Davila. He was, I've known him since I was a little boy. I used to actually be the bat boy of the team when he was the coach.
Nice.
So grew up, my mom's a teacher at the high school, so okay. I grew up, always knew him. And he left the middle of my sophomore year to go take that job at Laredo College. And when it was time, I was a senior, he took me on a visit. And in the back of my mind, I of course wanted to play for Coach Davila. I love Coach Davila. I still do, got a good relationship with him. There was some times where I was thinking, man, do I want to, like, what do I do here as far as uncertainties with this guy I don't know, or a guy I do know, I've known for a long time, and especially at Laredo, a lot of Corpus ball players have gone there, so there's just more familiarity. But I knew that, especially talking to Coach Flores on my visit, he really did a good job of selling the school. It's Our Lady of the Lake's a great school, great environment in San Antonio. And he really did a good job of assuring me that we'd be in good hands. So I ended up thinking that was the best option for me.
Dude, and they've built a great program in, what, 4 or 5 years? I mean, Our Lady Lake was really nowhere to be found. And now
I believe
rankings
this is
came
their,
out and they're like ranked
year.
In the state now, or I mean nation, like in the top 50 in the nation, top 25 in the nation, it's, something like that.
Last spring was our first time we received votes for the top 25, and
yeah,
the year before, or these past 2 years, we had finished second in the conference, which was the highest so far.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, see, so I mean, man, they've done a great job of not just recruiting, but building that program from the ground up, so to speak, and really turning it around. Because, man, you never really heard. I mean, I've been in San Antonio for years. You never really heard anything about Our Lady of the Lake baseball, and now, I mean, it's talked about quite a bit. I mean, so hats off to them, man. Like, without a doubt, Coach Ogney and Coach Flores. I know Coach Flores is no longer there. He's now at A&M Kingsville. But, you know, I mean, those guys obviously built a hell of a program, and I'm sure it's going to just continue to go up and up. So,
for sure.
Man, so a couple of rapid-fire questions, like, before we let you get out of here. They may not be too rapid, but, you know, we call it rapid. But so, number one. Any high school seniors sitting at their house, in their car, whatever, listening to this podcast, what's the one piece of advice you would give them going into college next year?
Some advice I definitely would give is take your grades seriously, especially that first year. It's kind of your general ed classes, so definitely take those as seriously as you can. Try to do good, because it really matters. As soon the second you start taking college classes, that follows you with your record, and you know, baseball. You know, you're gonna be. That's the reason you're going to that school to play ball. But that college degree is ultimately what's gonna follow you. So just do hard in school and the relationships. Be a good teammate. Be a good friend to everybody, because this game and life really is all about relationships, especially with your teammates and your coaches, because you never know, especially for a guy like myself trying to get into the coaching world. Really just try to build, get some great relationships.
It's always who you know, not what you know.
Sir.
You know, it boils down to that. So, second question, like you talked about being a coach. So at what level do you want to coach? Are you looking to, you want to coach at the high school level? You want to coach at the college level? Like, what's the goal there as far as coaching?
Of course, the college level would be great, but I really do enjoy education, and I'm planning on getting my master's in a education administration, so like your principal certification. Yep. Or your athletic director certification. So I really do see myself in the high school world.
Oh, really? Yes, sir. You want to be a principal someday?
We'll see. That's maybe 20-30 years from now, but who knows?
There you go. So going into your senior year, man, obviously, you know, it looks like college baseball is going to go and high school baseball is going to go. So heading into the 2021 season, you have some – give us some of your personal goals for your senior year, and then give us some of the team goals you think, and kind of what you want to leave as far as your mark at Our Lady of the Lake.
So some personal goals – I guess just stats-wise or personal playing accolades-wise, I would like to be an all-conference member. That's something I haven't gotten yet. So that's – I'd like to end on a good note. But as a teammate-wise, I hope – just kind of hope my teammates have seen – hopefully I've given them an example of what it's like just to kind of show up every day with a good attitude or attitude like we're ready to work. Hope I've given something that they can – build off of, keep building off of. And team wise obviously to finish first in the conference, whether that be in the regular season or the tournament, and get to that national tournament. I know it's been a long time coming. Last year and the year before we were close. I think this year we have more than enough pieces, and I think we can do that.
You got a couple of arms, man. Like, yes, sir. There's a couple of dudes that I know there's some scouts that are out looking at some of y'all's arms and stuff. So
yes, sir. We got some. Our pitching staff has always held it down for us. I think.
Yeah, they're gonna say, I know there's a couple of dudes that are being talked about from a draft standpoint, man. That I know, some scouts are going out to watch and stuff. All right. So then, what about like life after baseball? As far as, well, would you ever see a time where you're not going to be involved in baseball, and like maybe coaching doesn't work out, or you know, just be an educator?
Right now, I could definitely see myself being an educator. You know, I definitely do want to obviously be in the coaching world, but if that doesn't work out, I do think I'm more than ready to be an educator. Just kind of being a role model for high school kids, middle school kids every day that they may not have. I think that's something I could see myself being.
Yeah. All right. So as far as in y'all's conference, and I've asked them this. So what's the one team that when they're coming in to play at a home series, you're like, man, I'm jacked. I'm ready to play these guys. Who's that school?
Definitely LSU Shreveport. They've had our number for a few years. They knocked us out the previous 2 years in the conference tournament. They got some awesome players. They got, seems like every guy they're rolling out of the pen is 90 plus, and they got all Americans up and down the order. But they're definitely the team to beat, and I'm looking forward to it with them this year.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
What about so kind of on them, like, is there a guy from a pitching standpoint that you as a hitter that you can't stand going up against him?
this question's got to be out of the conference. We actually face them every year, opening day. Two guys, the first two guys we face are, one of them is Matt Merrill. He's a righty, gets up to about 97, and he's got a nasty slider and a changeup, and yeah. You know, you get up there, you're expecting 97, he's breaking you off a changeup first pitch, yeah. come on, and then right after that, we'll face a All-American lefty. His name is Colton Williams. I think he actually went to Galveston. I don't know if y'all would have been there at the same time.
Yeah.
He's about 6'4", 220 pounds. I think he's been undefeated for the 3 years he's been there. He's got every accolade you can think of. But those are definitely two guys when you're to start the season and you're thinking, man, these are some tough guys.
You're just like, it's just gonna get better from here.
It can only go up from here. Yeah,
from an average
standpoint and everything. But I definitely, those two guys will give you some fits.
Yeah.
Sir.
What about on your own pitching staff? Who's the one guy in inner squads that you're like, fuck, God, I got to face this guy today. Dang.
Definitely Jose Diaz. He'll be our closer. He was actually a preseason All-American pick this year. He was leading the nation in saves at the time. But he's just got that that swagger to him, I guess. Yeah. Like he's that ultimate competitor. You're not gonna beat him, and he runs it up there, and he's got a good little slider too, and he's just our guy, and he look forward to having him on our side, you know, after
inner squads. that's when you're like, oh yeah.
It's always nice we get to that last inning, and you know, he runs out from center. He's our center fielder too. Comes out from center field, and he shuts it down for us.
But right on.
Damn. Love it.
So If as you go into your coaching career, man, and I hope to God that it all works out and we see you coaching at the high school level or the college level, what's the one thing that you were going to take from Coach Flores and Coach Ogney into your coaching career and into your coaching style?
Definitely just their attention to detail. They have everything from a practice plan to weightlifting plan just to – fall conditioning playing, everything they do has a purpose, and there's no wasting time. But their attention to detail and just their ability to be relatable with the players. They definitely listen to players as far as arm care wise, body, like how you're feeling. They're at first, as a young guy coming in, that can kind of seem like they're a bit tough on you, but as you get that relationship with them, they're pretty good coaches, pretty good guys to be around. So their attention to detail and just their relatability with the players.
Are they screamers, yellers?
Coach Ogney will tell you he's a yeller. He says sometimes he blames it on. I don't know if you've ever been to our field at Missions Baseball Academy. Yes. There's the high 151 right there. The jets flying over.
We practice.
You know, it's pretty loud. So he says that's why he yells sometimes. But especially when I came in, we had a lot of incoming freshmen, mm-hmm. and some new guys. So I think he kind of had to set the tone there. But he's chilled out as we've proven it to him that we don't need the yelling. Won some games here and there, but he's more of the yeller type. And Coach Flores, he was our pitching coach, so I really didn't have to. He wasn't working with me as much, so he had that little bit more of a relaxed attitude. But I don't see myself as a yeller. That's not the kind of guy I am. But who knows? Who knows how it'll
You
be.
Might, man.
You're saying that. You're saying that now. Yeah. Wait until you get on that field, man, and like the competitive comes and you're like, you got a kid that just boots a routine, and you're like, I still make that right now. 26, dog. What are you doing?
It's so frustrating.
Like, come on. What are you doing?
They
like,
still get out there and hit batting practice every now and then.
Yeah.
Try to throw. Man. It's always fun. But they definitely have a reason for everything that they do.
Oh yeah, yeah. So man, again, all the luck in the world, man. We thank you so much for coming out and joining us today, man. Really great stuff. I think so many kids, you know, think
I'm going to college just to play baseball, man. And it's nice to have somebody come in like you and explain, like, hey, you know what? There is life after baseball, whether it's coaching as an administrator or something. Get on those grades, man. Like, it's so important. You know, I had a guy, I had a dad a long time ago tell me, he was like, you know, they don't recruit dumb athletes anymore. And it's true, you know what I mean? And he's talking about way back in the day when, you know, athletes really didn't have to go to school much. It's kind of like, all right, well, we're going to pass him because he can hit 20 bombs this season. So, you know, go on, baby. Just go hit those bombs. Don't worry about it, you know. But, you know, man, it all the congratulations in the world, man. Like I said, I mean, I go way back with your family. So your grandfather was one of the first guys, just kind of end on this story. I didn't make All-Stars or something like that. And your grandfather told me, well, work harder. And I was just like, oh, damn.
Okay.
you know, at Pony League, I didn't really get it, right? And so, man, the next year I ended up coming back and making All-Stars. But, man, so it's been a pleasure, man. I've seen you play. I never got to see you play in high school, but I've seen you play in college. And like I said, I remember when you were a freshman and a buck 05 soaking wet, and to now see you, man, and going into your senior year and graduating and knowing you have a plan and what you want to do. Man, all the success and continued success in the world. Man, thanks again for coming and joining us, man. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And
I hope you get to play this last senior year, man. And any advice is just enjoy it, man. Because it seems like, I mean, you already know you've done 4 years of it. It's going to fly by. And then when that last game ends up happening, it's just that same feeling you get after high school. You're like, oh, man. And if you're not going to play anymore and you're done, like, your baseball career is playing-wise is done. So
you go to Sunday League. Nah, you go play Sunday League.
Playing at that level, playing at that collegiate level, man, is it's a blessing. It really is. And not too many guys get to do it. So that last year, man, just enjoy it because it's going to happen so fast and fly by.
Yeah. And it's okay to cry. I cried like a baby, dude.
The last game. Hey, dude, you know what? I got a bone to pick. You came out and the first person you went to was your girl.
No,
you went to your mom.
No,
you
it was my mom.
My bad.
I didn't even
go to your mom girl. First, dude.
Yeah, my girl at the time. I had hugged a lot of people before I went to my girl at the time.
Go to Iris first.
I'm single, by the way, now.
Shout out to all the single girls listening. Hey, again, man, I know we repeated it. Thank you so much, man. We enjoyed it, man, and we'll be out there to watch you this year, man.
Thank you.
Good luck, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
Till next time, Hack Shack, we out.
Yes, peace. Sir.